Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Did you know Toyota of Brookhaven has sold more new vehicles the last 2 years than any other dealership in Southwest Mississippi? Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Oh, wow. I cannot believe we are live tonight talking about a win, but here we are. Welcome into the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. As you can see, we were not planning on going live tonight. One way or another, Ole Miss win, Ole Miss lose, we were not going to go live tonight. We were just going to simply do something tomorrow because wasn't a particularly big game. So figured, you know, wouldn't be up late tonight talking about it. Figured Ole Miss was going to win rather comfortably, if we're being totally honest with you. And so I figured we'd just do this tomorrow instead of tonight. But with how that game unfolded, we could not possibly not talk about it together on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I'm really glad that you guys are here. How did that happen? I cannot believe that happened. I mean, if we are being honest with ourselves, and we need to be, if we're being honest with ourselves, Ole Miss played about 36 minutes of terrible basketball. That is a bad LSU team, and LSU was more physical than Ole Miss for 36 minutes, and Ole Miss did not match their physicality for 36 minutes. Let's see, team stats here. I mean, LSU, I think, had 7 offensive rebounds in the game. Let me see. LSU ended up having 9 offensive rebounds. Ole Miss had 11. Again, 36 minutes of bad basketball, but it didn't matter because they ended up winning the game. But they were awful. And, I mean, I'm even sitting here on Twitter saying, you know, a quad 2 loss won't hurt the resume that much, but the way it looked is concerning because it was. And yet they just did not go away. And there were a couple of things that LSU did, like the that technical, what was a really bad spot for LSU to – there's never really a good time to get a technical, but that was a really bad spot. But Ole Miss just kept plugging away, 13 straight points to win the game for Ole Miss. And I'll pull up the individual play-by-play to give everybody that made the baskets their flowers. But that is something that you just absolutely have to love about this Ole Miss team is their resilience. We've talked about it in other games before. Their ability to either overcome bad starts and win like they did earlier in the season, including against this LSU team. Remember, LSU went to Oxford and had a first half 15-0 run, and Ole Miss overcame that and ended up winning. And then you had, you know, the Auburn game go down the way it did. Now, Ole Miss played well that day, for sure, but, you know, they had that happen the way it did and then turn around on Tuesday and come out and dominate Kentucky. Just a couple of days after that, you had the Texas A&M loss, and that didn't. And then you have to go to Columbia and play a really good Missouri team, and they shoot lights out. Then you turn around, you beat Texas at home. There have been example after example with this team in particular of where they just quite simply have not quit. And here they are again tonight. I mean, the game feels over. It feels insurmountable. They had a couple of runs in the second half to where they got it close and something would happen and LSU would extend the lead out, and it just wasn't their night. And it's another situation where you could have just kind of decided, hey, look, you know, it's not my night. And, you know, we got beat up physically and this sucks, but put your head down, let the clock run out and go home. And they didn't do that. So they were down 11 with 2:52 to go in the game. Down 11 with 2:52 to go in the game. Juju Murray missed a three. Sean Padula got an offensive board. Matt Morrell was fouled. He makes both of his free throws. They force a turnover from Cam Carter. Juju Murray missed a three-point shot. Dre Davis gets an offensive rebound. Corey Chest gets a foul. Dre Davis misses a free throw. Ole Miss gets an offensive Dre Davis missed a free throw. Matt Morrell gets an offensive rebound. Juju Murray misses a three-point shot. Jamin Brakefield gets an offensive rebound. Robert Miller puts him on the line. He makes them both. They turn over Bailey. Dre Davis gets a steal. He was excellent tonight, was Dre Davis. Brakefield gets a layup. Cam Carter misses a layup at the rim. Brakefield gets the rebound. Bailey, Padula draws a foul on Bailey. He makes both free throws. Juju Murray fouls Corey Chest. He misses a free throw. Matt Morrell gets the rebound. Dre Davis missed a layup. Ole Miss gets an offensive rebound. Kick out. Tie the game. Jamin Brakefield. 45 seconds left. Cam Carter turns it over. Sean Padula misses a layup. Dre Davis there for the offensive rebound. Ball game. That is that is Ole Miss's Texas A&M moment. They had no business winning that game, and they did. And they did it through how many offensive rebounds? So let's go back to the beginning. How many times did I say offensive rebound when Ole Miss is down 11 after Cam Carter makes a layup? So Cam Carter put them up 11 with 3:15. So there's one Padula offensive rebound. There's two. There's three, four. Five. Is that six offensive rebounds in the final 3 minutes of the game? On a night where they were completely and totally dominated up until that point physically. They did not match LSU's athleticism, and yet when it came down to it, they did it. So really good stuff. We'll look more at the box score and then just read a bunch of your comments again on this edition of the Rebel Report. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you have not already. And if you are watching or listening on YouTube, don't forget to do so in the podcast feed. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. If you are anywhere in Mississippi, he's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere. If you're a small business owner and you need some legal advice, or you want to start a small business and you don't know like what to do legally to make sure that you cross all your T's and dot your I's, 662-397-9799 is the phone number, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm. Also for personal injury. So personal injury, small business, and also contract disputes. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799. Some quick box score stuff in the game. Ole Miss was 38% from the field, only 26% from three. Missed 9 free throws in the game as well. That's kind of becoming a theme for this team. They need to clean that up a little bit. Dre Davis, again, he was excellent tonight. Had 7 rebounds, but here's the key. 4 of them were offensive rebounds. He had 22 on 8 of 16 shooting. Made 6 of his 10 free throws. Also had a steal for good measure. Sean Padula added 17. He was 5 of 14 from the field, struggled around the basket a little bit. Again, LSU's pretty long and physical down low, but he had 17 points, made all 3 of his free throws, 3 assists in the game for Sean Padula. Jamin Brakefield had 11. He was 4 of 6 from the field, had 8 rebounds, 3 of them offensive. Again, down the stretch, Ole Miss so good on the offensive glass, and that was a huge difference. Matt Morrell, 10 points on 2 of 7 from the field. He did make all 6 of his free throws. Also had a block, a steal, and an offensive rebound. That's really the scoring for Ole Miss. You got 9 from Juju Murray. He was 3 of 8, only 1 of 6 from 3. You got 2 from Barnes on just 9 minutes played. Malik Dia, only 1 point. 0 of 6 from the field and only had a couple of rebounds in the game. And that was a big key as to how LSU was able to build a lead and kind of maintain that lead. I think that Ole Miss did not have an answer for them physically. And it starts with Dia and Brown Jones, who's has not earned his coach's confidence to receive a lot of minutes. And as a result, Ole Miss has to go small a lot. And that presents its problems, but they were able, of course, to overcome them tonight in this game. So, again, Ole Miss wins 72-70. A unbelievable comeback. Truly unbelievable comeback. And it's like equilibrium, right? Because Ole Miss had no business losing to Texas A&M, and they found a way to do it. They had really kind of no business winning tonight, and yet they found a way to do it. Those things have kind of balanced themselves out now. If they would have lost, it could have possibly ended up being a quad one loss anyway. LSU is the second worst team in the SEC, and still they're in the top 80 in the net. So if they get into the top 75, that could be a quad one road win. If LSU now, obviously because they won, could find themselves into the top 75 if they work their way in there, which is totally possible. They got to get a couple of wins, though, of course. But that could be a quad one win. But certainly it doesn't matter when you've got a resume like Ole Miss's. They are almost a lock to make the tournament. Seven conference wins with seven to play. They are in outstanding shape to make the NCAA tournament. So enough of me, because I have already clearly established on my tweets, because I counted them out. I completely counted them out. Completely counted them out. I mean, I really did. I thought, after LSU went up 11, I thought, okay, that's ball game. I mean, I'm going to go take a shower and I'm going to go to bed. Instead, I'm talking to you guys, and I'm happy to do it, as you can imagine. This is much better than the alternative, but I have clearly established that I'm an idiot, so I need to get out of your way and let you guys talk now, and I'll do that after I tell you about Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on exit 40 in Brookhaven, but if you're not in Southwest Mississippi, shop online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. Use the code REBELREPORT if you're shopping online. $1,000 on me on any in-stock new Toyota, or if you go there in person, just tell them I sent you. $1,000. I will give you $1,000 through them. They'll be given. I don't have $1,000 to give. Free $1,000 on me if you use code REBELREPORT online, and they got a great selection online too. The car buying experience is stressful, or at least it can be. It's not stressful with the good people at Toyota of Brookhaven. So even if you're not in Southwest Mississippi, you want to buy a car through people that will actually treat you like a person and not with dollar signs in their eyes. Toyotaofbrookhaven.com, exit 40 in Brookhaven. They also have a service department, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. You don't have to buy a vehicle through them. Doesn't have to be a Toyota. They will service you and take care of you. Toyota of Brookhaven has interest rates as low as 1.99% for 48 months on all in-stock Tundra. So if you're looking for a new truck, check them out. But they have a great selection of new and used vehicles at Toyota of Brookhaven. Great service, great savings at Toyota of Brookhaven. They deliver. Now, time for me to get out of the way. Here we go. Unbelievable win. Wright Beard a blank check to stay in Oxford. Emergency stream, right? Yeah, look, obviously, like, I know my graphics package is something that me, the amateur, created myself. So it's not exactly pretty anyway. But I didn't have time to update that. I don't have a thumbnail made, because after the game, I was just kind of sitting there like, I guess I need to go live now. And so just came in here and did it. Break field for that three. Absolutely, man. And, you know, I liked Jamin Brakefield before that CBS article came out, because you hear things about how he treats people, which is exceptionally good, by the way. Like, you, before that came out, like, any time somebody talked about Jamin Brakefield, it was exclusively good, like, exceptional guy, great ambassador for the school, all that stuff. After that CBS article came out about him and what he's done for that high school student that's living with him now, and he is essentially like, he's become, he does all of the fatherly duties, and I don't know how he can do that and also play high level college basketball the way he does. He's just a better guy than me. I mean, clearly, after that, I've just been the biggest fan of his. And so when he's able to do something like that, it, like, as a sports fan, you can't know his story now and not feel incredible things when he does something like that. What a gigantic shot that was. And I'm just, you know, can't be happier for somebody like him to have success like that and to have that moment. for his team is special. That's just a special shot. And I know it's kind of a goofy word, but he's a special guy and deserved that moment. The A&M game has been balanced out. Insert a Thanos quote here. No kidding. Just a big wow. Seriously. Can't let Beard go to Indiana. Here's what I will say about that. We are not going to spend time talking about that until there's actual movement one way or another on that. I don't think it's fair to you guys. I don't think you guys want to hear that. It's not ignoring like the possibility. His name will be on all the hot boards that get created. But, I mean, it's February 8th. He's got a tournament team right now. What's the point of will he leave? Will he stay? Will they offer him? I don't know the answer to any of those questions, and I don't think that's what you guys want to hear. And so I'm just not going to spend a lot of time on it until something materializes, if that makes sense. First of all, that was a terrible basketball game on both sides for the most part. It was, but it was one. LSU managed the end of that so poorly, and somehow Ole Miss seized the opportunity and made some shots, got dominated in rebounds, and who would have guessed the game winner on an offensive putback? No kidding. What, just a wow insane and a hottie toddy there. Have I changed since my last live stream? Like clothes? Yes, I have. I wear this hat all the time, though. Like, I have a problem with hats. I like fall in love with one hat and I wear it until it can't be worn anymore. And this is a Sanderson Farms Championship hat. Hope you guys go to the Sanderson Farms Championship this year because we'll be there. And Ole Miss is off that weekend, by the way, in football. So anyway, just representing my local PGA Tour event. If LSU had won, they likely would have been back in the top 75. Probably so. Let's see what their schedule is. Maybe it's kind of insurmountable at this point. I don't know how much a home loss is going to drop them in the net, especially with their record being what they are. I mean, who knows? They could slip back in, but it doesn't matter because a quad two win certainly doesn't hurt you. And Ole Miss remains undefeated outside of quad one games, which is a gigantic, glowing, like arrow pointing positive on their resume right now. Now that they've got South Carolina coming up, and South Carolina's net is worse, so they have to win that game to maintain that. But they are that resume line is a really, really good one for them. And not that one quad two loss is going to change whether or not they're a tournament team at this point, but still, the fact that not only do they have that win at Alabama, which is just how did that game end, by the way? I guess Arkansas was coming back. I assume that they ended up losing, but I was too busy trying to get ready for you guys here. Okay, so Arkansas still ended up losing. So that Alabama win continues just to age like a fine wine. I mean, that is going to be another one of those, like, highlighter, arrow pointing to it, spotlight on, like, big-time resume line item. Their current record outside of quad ones is outstanding. Not a single even kind of bad loss for Ole Miss. All of their losses are good, and they have a handful of quad one wins, and they are undefeated outside of the quad one. That is a really good resume as of this point, a really good one. And like they dodged a bullet tonight in the way that they played, but like for a resume perspective, it still wouldn't have been that bad. That's just how good the SEC is. D has been a non-factor lately. I'm not counting Kentucky's non-existent defense. Dre Davis and Sean Padula were the difference makers tonight. Yeah, for sure. Think LSU's a bad matchup for some reason. They have some length in athleticism down low. I think that's the biggest factor in this. Also, good or bad, I don't think that it was like overly inconsistent. Of course, officials are going to be inconsistent. But I thought that generally they allowed the game to be a lot more physical, and that doesn't really play into Ole Miss's hands as well. So a lighter whistle helps this team more than one that's going to look like that. So they played their worst game of conference play by far and somehow won. Those final 3 minutes. I mean, they negated everything by getting offensive rebounds. LSU made a couple of mistakes and they capitalized on them. Is it fair to say that being 7-4 right now might have essentially clinched a tournament spot? Feels like 7 wins is the entry point. I think so, but you certainly don't want to lose your next 7. But I understand your premise. Yeah, I mean, this team is going to make the NCAA tournament, knock on wood. I think even with – gosh, you don't want to lose 7 in a row, though. I don't know how much that matters. They're not going to. I would bet my car on that. Yeah, that they're very comfortably on their way into the tournament. I think our conversation moving forward now is going to be centered around seeding more so than actually, you know, will they make it? Do they have enough wins? The magic number conversation is, I think it's over. And that's a really good thing. That is a really, really, really good thing. Everything they did poorly somehow was remedied in the final 2 minutes. Yeah, no kidding. What an ending. Unbelievable. Did they win? Yes. Somebody says, read the stream title. Yeah. Holy crap, that's a benchmark moment. It's one of those that you look back, if your team's going to make a tournament run, then you look back at games like that, you know, as a turning point, whatever it may be. They're down 11 with 2:50 to play and one at the buzzer. Yep. Can't call it a big win on the surface, but you can call it a very important win, especially when you pair it with that win against Texas, being clutch down the stretch lately after the A&M choke. Yeah, so that's a good point. It's the comeback is huge. The way it feels, the way like it was a big final 3 minutes. The win itself is not going to, quote unquote, help them nor hurt them, of course, at all. But how it happened. I like that you brought that up. That's a good point, because the A&M loss happened. And frankly, they didn't close out games well before the A. I mean, it was, you know, they forced overtime with Mississippi State, but they lost the overtime period. Even their big time win in Tuscaloosa, it still got weird there for a little while. So they were struggling closing games, and they have since done much better in that category. Now, they haven't been perfect, but so what? You know, they couldn't close. They didn't play great in the clutch against Auburn, but that's the best team in America, regardless of what happened today with them. So, I am totally, I'm with you on that. They have started figuring out how to win. They're learning how to win. Going to end up 11-7, hopefully in conference. What seeding could that get? 11-7. What would their net be? I mean, that could be 4-5. I mean, they were projected going into the weekend as a 5 seed. So somewhere in there, yeah. Game like that can pay dividends come March. Going to be a lot of close games in the tournament. Yeah, and just the building confidence, being in that spot again, that they're not going to – you don't think that they're going to shudder, because they've done it multiple times now. Morrell, 9 rebounds. Did I skip that? Because I didn't mean to if I did. And again, as we talk about all the time with him, I mean, he is just playing on nothing. The analogy I used on the radio show, I think I did here, was you remember how – yeah, 9 boards for Matt Morrell. So he went 10-9 tonight. Goodness, I don't think I mentioned that earlier. Your old high school coach used to say, are you hurt or are you injured? Because there's a difference between hurt and injured. Matt Morrell's injured. He's not just hurt. He is straight up injured. And the fact that he is giving them a high level anything is rather remarkable. And to give them 9 rebounds tonight, and double-digit points, so he scored – what is it, 34 points in 2 games, and then getting 9 boards tonight. It's just dealing with what he's dealing with is just special. He's tough, man. He is so tough. They avoided a baddish loss. Wouldn't have hurt them too much, but probably drops them by a seed. Yeah, and frankly, if the final 4 minutes doesn't happen and they just continue what it was and the game closes out the way the first 36 went, then you had to be concerned about how easy it was for LSU to out-physical them. And then everything, you know. LSU has some decent athletes, but they played disjointed too. Ole Miss was downright awful. We're fortunate LSU returned the favor on missing some free throws. They did miss a lot. What was that? So Ole Miss missed 9. LSU missed 13. Made less than half of their free throws. Ugh. There are some teams in the league who are awful at the line. Georgia and Mississippi State today was hard to watch. Yeah, State got really, really lucky. Really, really lucky. Game was epic at the end. Gators look tough because they are. Stand by it. Ole Miss is going to beat State by 15+. I agree. I said after the first iteration of that game that I think it's just going to be a flip of what happened last year. Remember, Ole Miss beat State in a really close game at home. Then they went to Starkville and lost by double digits. I said then, and I still agree with it, that the opposite is going to happen. I think that State won at home in a close game, and they're going to go to Oxford and get beat by 15. Auburn finally lost. It was glorious to watch. Yeah, and I did not realize that Auburn was as old as they are until some people started sharing the fact that Luka is younger than one of Auburn's players. I don't think Zion's 25 yet, and he's playing right now. I just Googled Zion, and it gave me Zion National Park, which I guess would be more popular, I suppose. So Zion's 24. So Zion's playing. I mean, he has spent 5 years in the NBA, right? Because he was drafted in 2019. Let me get to his stats. So this is his fifth year in the NBA. And Luka has 5 All-NBAs. And Auburn has a player older than both of them. Not sure what to expect on Tuesday right now. Playing at Carolina isn't easy, but they're reeling. And I would imagine that film is not going to be particularly pretty. Even though they won, I have a feeling that Chris Beard's going to be able to get their attention before they go into Columbia. Haven't heard any rumors of Beard other than on Facebook. No, look, I mean, there's going to be obvious connections that people will make between him and the now open Indiana job. I just don't think it's worth discussing until there's like some real true reporting on, hey, he's their priority candidate and they've made contact type stuff. I'm just not going to sit here and talk about hot boards with you guys in February. I just don't think it's fair to you. We don't do that in football either. I don't think that's right. And for good reason, because look at what has happened. Right. So, Unless something materializes, we're just not going to talk about it. I think Juju Murray's saving up for tournament time. He was great on Tuesday, though. I know Kentucky's defense is poor, but he was very clutch in that game. That win will keep Ole Miss in the polls, I agree. Still have been ranked all season. I wonder if that's ever happened before. Yeah, I mean, going 2-0 this week with one of those being Kentucky will absolutely keep them ranked. Ole Miss wins and the Thunder smack the Grizzlies around. Been a good night. Yeah. Number one and number two lost tonight. Yeah. How about that environment in Clemson? That looked great. Yes. South Carolina is next. Those kind of wins are important for the rest of the season when everything isn't going your way. To not quit and continue to fight is a big deal. Pretty no, but you take more away from a win like this. And yeah, look, that. Ugly wins are still wins all the same, especially when you're trying to make the tournament in this league. So, Alabama almost let Arkansas come back from 18 points down. Yeah, they did. How are the chances on beating the Cox on Wednesday? Isn't it Tuesday? I feel like you have a great chance of doing that on Tuesday for sure, knowing you. The 12th, right? So is that Tuesday? No, that's Wednesday. I'm an idiot. Again, I already told you guys that, though. Ole Miss hasn't been blitzed out of any game on the road. That might happen at Auburn, but still, they're hard to blow out with how they play defense, for sure. That Auburn game will be the freest of free shots. I mean, because I think that Ole Miss at that point will just, I mean, they will have the very appropriate amount of wins. There will be no stress on the result of that game. Just go there and give them your best shot and see what they got, you know? How lucky is Texas A&M Wade Taylor game winner at Missouri? Ooh, he's good though, right? Texas A&M has, what, 6 ranked wins this year? Something like that. Didn't think the refs were bad. The focus to me was how poorly they were playing. Yeah. If they win on Wednesday, I'll be ready to shift the conversation. I hear you. Kind of like their chances on winning one of, if not two, against Florida and Tennessee. So Florida being in Gainesville, that's tough. That's really, really tough. I do like their chances against Tennessee and Oxford, though. Never a doubt. No, absolutely. There was never at any point, there was never, ever, ever a doubt. At no point. Really is a similar moment where A&M beat them, but Ole Miss did it to themselves. Now LSU really had the game and killed themselves at the end. Yeah, I do think, you know, if you really want to split hairs, I do think that Ole Miss choked more so than LSU did tonight. So Ole Miss choked against A&M more so than LSU did tonight. I think Ole Miss just ended up making plays. Yeah, they got a little bit of help, sure, but they ended up making plays. You needed that offensive foul to go your way, right? The technical needed to go your way too, but it was almost exclusively Ole Miss giving it away to A&M. I don't think it was just exclusively LSU giving this one away. They just finally started making plays. It took them forever to get there. I think they're going to handle State. It's just a feeling you have. Carolina actually interests me more right now. They do play well at home. But they did get beat badly today. You got to kind of wonder when the Q factor. Obviously, it didn't work for LSU. They were in it and locked in and ready to play tonight. But forgot how much fun a college basketball can be when you have a competitive team. It is intoxicating. That's the word that I will always use. Having a basketball team that makes the tournament is so intoxicating. I mean, you're in February. That these games matter so much and the environments are great and you're hanging on every shot and every possession. And then, you know, if they do get the appropriate number of wins, which I think they will, but if they do, you get to go to Selection Sunday and you're sitting hearing that music, and they're revealing the bracket. And then, I mean, you get to fill it out and you write your team all the way to the national championship game. And you know that they're not going to win the national championship, but you get to write your team all the way to the national title. It's an amazing thing. It is more fun, I think, to make a tournament run in basketball than have a good football season. Great, different story. Like winning a football title, totally different deal. But like a good football season or making a deep run in the NCAA tournament, what's more fun? I think it's the tournament. I know that's kind of crazy to some, but I think it is. They pick up 2 wins this week. This coming week, they can go to a tough Vandy team in Nashville with house money, essentially. That game won't be easy. Definitely not. Weird place to play. I do expect there to be a lot of you guys there, though. Especially if Vandy's still in the hunt for a tournament spot. And they will be, for sure. You heard that Morrell literally needed help getting down from the podium after the game Saturday. I did not know that. But that tracks, considering the injuries. You say, good job, Borky. Very proud of you. Thanks, Dad. I appreciate you. All I can do about my tweets is acknowledge that I'm an idiot. That's all I can do. That's growth, right? Acknowledging your flaws and accepting them as they are. That's personal growth. You know? Can't believe LSU's AD didn't walk on the floor and fire their coach after that. Yeah, Chad Baker Mazar is 25. He's older than Luka and Zion. Pearl rumored to be getting an offer he can't refuse from Indiana at the end of the season. I know that Indiana's an elite basketball job. I know, but with what he's got at Auburn, why would you leave that? I mean, he's a king there. Why would you leave that? I don't know. Do you think basketball at Ole Miss could become something similar to what football is with Kiffin, where the program builds to a point he doesn't really need to leave? It certainly is possible. I mean, in there is a you know, there's a chance that some schools look at him as unhirable as well, but they're committed to basketball. They being Ole Miss, Keith Carter, they're committed to winning in basketball. And this is why you commit to winning in basketball, because when you do, look at what you can be. Look at what can happen, right? You kind of luck into a coach like Chris Beard, but if he happens to leave after this year, the candidate list would be a damn good one. Forgive my language, but it would be. And, I mean, the top two guys would probably both take your job. And if you continue to invest like this and you continue to build fan culture, which is what they're doing right now, the students are seriously engaged in basketball. And guess what happens when students graduate? They come back to games. And I don't know, you just – if you keep investing in basketball and then you start having success, you can build a foundation of desire from fans to – I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. It's late, okay? Point is – yes, Ole Miss can be that too. It's a job with no basketball history to speak of. It's kind of like Auburn, but with investment and fan give a damn, for lack of a better phrase, you can so easily become what Auburn is. And Ole Miss is in the early stages of that. Fans are starting, the casual non-big basketball fan is starting to look at this and say, hey, you know what? This is fun, right? There were a lot of Ole Miss fans that watched this game today that were casual fans. And they were told by other people, like, hey, watch the basketball team. They're good. Or, hey, beat Kentucky on Tuesday. And they watched the game Saturday, and they kind of played like crap. Not kind of. They played like crap for 36 minutes, but yet they don't quit, and they have this amazing comeback, this 13-0 run to end the game. And now you're, you know, in your group messages or talking to your buddy, it's like, hey, they play state on Saturday. We should go. Let's buy tickets. And it just, this is how you start building from the ground up. And basketball can work at a place like Ole Miss, even though there hasn't been the history, it can work. And you're seeing it work right now. And I hope, because this is fun to talk about, that this continues, that people keep buying in and that people keep going to games and creating environments and the school keeps investing, because this is great. This is great. I'm having a blast. Like, and I know you guys are too. That's right. Ole Miss doesn't have the history, so you just have to build it. Just build it. Who cares? Who cares if there's no NBA presence? It doesn't matter now. Make one now. Make one. Doesn't matter if there's not enough banners in the arena. Who cares? The arena's beautiful. It doesn't matter. What happened in 1998 doesn't matter. Or whatever. 94, 96, 2010 doesn't matter. Get used to it. Any legit job? Yeah. When you're winning, people want the guy that's winning. So you just got to kind of roll with it. Team's playing great. Winning games, enjoy that. Ignore all the other stuff. It's not worth your emotional capital right now. Think they have most of what they need, with the exception of consistent large crowds, not counting the students, of course. And it is tough. There is the thing that is working against Ole Miss when it comes to that is location. I know Memphis is only an hour away, but guys, it's still an hour. You know, Tupelo is only 45 minutes away. They're still 45 minutes away. Oxford itself is small. Baton Rouge is not small. They had empty seats everywhere. I understand why. But, like, Lexington is big, right? It's a big place. I know it's different, but the conversation around the women's team last year, where it was like, well, LSU and South Carolina support their women's programs. It's like, well, look at the population size of the cities that they're in. It's easier to get people to go to those games because there's more of them there. And so like Tuesday in Kentucky, not every seat was full because it is hard to get people on weeknights to travel multiple hours one way or even two ways all the time. That's why you have to continue to try to build through getting the casuals to buy in. That's the one thing against Ole Miss is there's not a big local population to help enhance crowds. You have to depend on people from outside locations, and not everybody can do it on weeknights. It's tough, but it's getting better. Feel like he'll handle it better than Lane does. I would expect that, frankly. So close from taking a terrible loss. Would not have been terrible, but the way it looked was, but it doesn't matter now, does it? 7 ranked wins now. Oh, for A&M? Jeez. Beard is the best coach on campus? Tend to think so. Although, you can even make the case, yeah, we can really get goofy and start having a really, like, what are we doing debate. Hinkus, the women's golf coach, actually has a really strong case for that. But yeah, we don't need to get into that debate tonight. Does LSU just not care about men's basketball right now? That program seems dead in the water. Part of it, I think, isn't it kind of hard to support two basketball teams? I know Baton Rouge is a big place, but the women's team kind of gets all the attention there, doesn't it? And yes, they did go all in on baseball for sure. Could have called a foul on LSU every 5 seconds on offense and defense. Yeah, the refs let them play tonight. Now, it was a little inconsistent, but I think by and large it was a fair whistle on both sides. You know, with some head scratchers, but yeah. Murrell has something bad ankle-wise. I've heard knee and back, but problem either way. Do you think Stephen Pearl will take over the Auburn job whenever that day comes? He's certainly waiting for something big. I imagine he's probably had his opportunity to coach at a mid-major or two. But anyway, basketball is fun, especially when you have the pavilion and an elite coach with some good NIL. The venue certainly helps, doesn't it? I know people have fond memories of the Tad Pad. But it's better to watch basketball in a better building, and they've got that now. I don't look like Tom Petty. It's a callback to the radio show. Yeah, a former employee of Supertalk said I looked like Tom Petty. Tom Petty said I looked like Tom Petty. What? But yeah, Johnny from Cobra Kai is what I get the most. It's working at other schools. For example, Auburn and Alabama have both turned into great programs, and fans buy into good basketball. Look at Missouri's crowd today. They went 0-18 last year. Yeah, I mean, this is a little excessive, but Auburn had students camping out for almost a full week for their game today. That's got to be tough, though, by the way. Imagine camping out starting on Tuesday night for a Saturday game, and you're down by 20 points at one point. That's tough. I mean, you know, you do it for the memories and all that. And, you know, I think that would be fun to camp out before a basketball game. A full week, though, in a tent, just to get beat like they did today, that's not fun. That's not good. It will always be tougher at Ole Miss to get big crowds midweek, which makes it more important for the people to be loud. We have too many people sitting on their hands. It takes time. The next thing, I've said this to you guys before, the next thing that the pavilion crowd can do is when the opponent goes on a run, when Ole Miss is bringing the ball up the floor, to get on their feet and make noise. That's like the next thing that you see other arenas do more than Ole Miss. Like when Kentucky went on their mini run on Tuesday night, there was a couple of times where that would have been a perfect spot for, okay, everybody on your feet, let's get back behind the team moments. Little things like that. that can enhance your environment even more. Is little stuff like that. But it again, it takes time. It takes time to build like the fire and passion behind basketball with a fan base that has not been treated to basketball that's been worth being fiery about for very long periods of time. Expect all three home games left to have large crowds, even the OU game because it's on a Saturday. Oh, absolutely, right? And that's a home baseball weekend as well, so that helps. There's just more reason for more people to be in town. The state game will be a hard sellout. Every seat will have a butt in it. So need some kind of program to pass season ticket holders who aren't present to pass those on. See that, you know, what's crazy is that program already exists. It's just not used enough. Was on the front row of the Pete Maravich Center for that game was something unbelievable to experience. Oh, I imagine. You could feel the confidence and resilience of the team. They never wavered. And waiting on your third message. That's okay, though. I hope you had a great time. I mean, that has got to be one of your more favorite sports memories, right? Witnessing a wild comeback like that right there up on the floor must have been awesome. Camped out 4 days for baseball seats. They went 6-24, but that's not important. But it wasn't just for one game, right? You camped out for the entire season's worth of games. I understand that. Like, that's different than camping out for a week for one game to get beat by 20. If they gave fans carts, college golf could be a riot. Oh, gosh, that's the last thing we need. Rod Barnes and the Provine Posse were great times with great fan support, for sure. And I don't mean to date you here, but that was a long time ago. Main thing that can happen is to put the student section in front of the camera, like Duke. Next year, I guess, is when they're finally going to flip that. The rest of the crowd needs to follow the students' lead. They do. They'll come around. Back in the Evans Barnes era, every single SEC game was packed out when they were good. That's when I was in school at Ole Miss. I was there for the SEC tournament championship. So the Marshall years, I was there then, which was when basketball kind of was at its peak. Like, I remember Jarvis Summers, really good player, too. Kind of before that. If I ever camp out for Pelicans tickets, we need it streamed. Yeah, right. I could walk in for $5 at this point. Are the women going to make the tournament? I think so. I know they lost the other day. They were on the cusp of hosting, but I think they're kind of a lock to make the tournament. But I don't know if hosting will be in their future or not. So probably will be a long line for next Saturday too. I bet that there will be some tents, especially if they win at South Carolina. But I think regardless, you might see some tents. That team was amazing, but the 2012-13 year was wild in the Tad Pad with Henderson. He was a great watch. He really was. That was a fun time. Was one of my favorite Ole Miss sports memories for sure. Travel to the game with one of your colleagues. Really? Which one? Don't answer that. We don't need to. Nice. Well, hope they had fun. I have, I think I've showed you guys this before, but from that era, I can't get it down. I've got something in front of it. But when they beat Missouri, who was number 10 at the time, Marshall threw the basketball, just threw it up in the air, and it bounced around a couple of times, got it in the student section, and I got it. And we took off. And I still have that ball. It's sitting right up there. I've showed you guys before, but I have something in front of it now holding it, so I don't want to take all this down. But I have that ball. And Marshall even like went on Twitter and was like, hey, I need that ball back because they're fining me like $20 or whatever for the ball. And I was like, no, I'm not giving that to anybody. So I've got that when they beat Frank Haith in Missouri. But yeah, good times there. Really good times. him jersey popping the Auburn fan, still one of my favorite Ole Miss memories. It very well could be. So if you're talking about like short videos of Ole Miss sports, right? So the moment where the ref announces that Cinquez Golson picked it off in the Alabama game in 14, that's one. That's one of those, like the short videos, especially when you have the David Kellum audio in the background where he just goes, hey, when they announce it. That's crazy. So that's one for sure. The Marshall jersey pop is another. Back-to-back-to-back home runs in the that short little video, the back-to-back-to-back is another. Maybe the Austin Anderson intentional walk-off, where Auburn was trying to put him on base and they threw it over the plate, so he hit a home run, and that team went to Omaha. So there's more football ones too, of course, but those are that's a good start. If this summer, if we're really bored and we just want to do something like that for a show, that's something that we can do. We just sit back and, hey, remember this? Hey, remember this? Remember when this happened? Just for an hour? Be great summer content, actually. But tonight, got a big basketball win. Well, a fun basketball win. Ole Miss beats LSU in an epic comeback. The podcast, by the way, brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. ABSMS.com is the website. If you're a Mississippi business and you're in the market for office technology, tell them I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Glad you came on. I liked and have been subbed. Listen to the radio show every day. Appreciate you, man. Thank you. Glad you're here and all that good stuff. Was super impressed with the amount of Ole Miss fans there. The culture is truly shifting within the fan base. It's a slow process, but happening before our eyes. That's another thing too, right? That's another really impressive thing that Auburn does, for example, kind of built from the ground up, as Bruce built the program. They are really good as a traveling fan base. And that's, hearing that is an encouraging sign, right? That means that you're starting to get a similar thing out of Ole Miss as well. If there was a lot of red in the, what do they call it, the PMAC, then good. That means that there's another layer of improvement and buy-in from fans. You were looking at one of Richard Cross's old trucks today? Yeah, probably. Probably so. But appreciate you guys being here. It is very late. Before the game started, I actually did a very small amount of exercising, and so I do need to take a shower because I stink. But thoughts on Kellen Moore? I'm fine with it. I think that the problems within the organization extend far beyond coaching. And so while Dennis Allen needed to go, I think a lot of others needed to as well. And so this only will cure one symptom of a much larger problem. But I do like Kellen Moore. I think that there's some infrastructure in place for his offense to work with New Orleans, and ran the football pretty well this year. They've got some good backs. I like Kendre Miller a lot paired with Kamara, and maybe they'll be healthy on the offensive line. And if they draft a big bodied wide receiver, which a lot of people think they will, they have a chance to be good. But there's a lot of problems, and it's not just coach. But anyway, heading back to Raymond from Baton Rouge. Lots of red. It's awesome. You guys had one epic night. Just hope none of you left before the final buzzer, like my Twitter told you to. But anyway, I got to run. It is late, but I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for being here and being a part and listening and all that stuff. Obviously not going live tomorrow. It's the Super Bowl. I'll be watching the Super Bowl. But I appreciate you guys being here. And we'll be back on Tuesday night talking more basketball and whatever else comes up between now and then. So I'll see you guys on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. And enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy this win, and I'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.